Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, we've been talking about advice to graduates, high school graduates, college graduates. Maybe one piece of advice is if you're ever in trouble, get a great attorney. DeAndre Baker, the New York Giants, and Quentin Dunbar, the Seattle Seahawks, were both arrested on armed robbery charges. According to the report, Broward County Judge Michael Davis set bar at $100,000 for Dunbar. Baker got set at $200,000. He had four armed robbery charges, four aggravated assault charges. Both made bond by Sunday morning. But it was a strange case because their attorneys now are coming out and saying, hey, look, there are witnesses that will clear these guys. In fact, they have affidavits that say such. Now, for people who don't know, Baker and Dunbar were accused of robbing an illegal dice game in Florida on Wednesday night, along with a third man. Apparently, Baker pulled out a gun. And no shots were fired, but multiple witnesses originally said this happened one way. Now lawyers have come out and say, no. The same witnesses are now recanting their testimony. Amy Dash is a legal analyst for Fox and CBS Radio. She's been all over this. Amy, how weird is this for you?
The case sounds really weak, and I think it's been extremely strange that the circumstances of this case and basically all of the evidence that backed up the case for the police and prosecutors has now completely fallen out from under them and has changed in the course of, 36 hours, where you had five witnesses, four of them being alleged victims, all now going over to the defense attorneys and writing statements for the defense saying that they completely have changed their story and in most respects recanted or taken back what they said to police. That is very bizarre because what it does is it leaves the authorities with nothing to back up their case since their entire case was built on these five people's statements. And according to both sides, they don't have anything else right now. There's no video, no audio, nothing else. So if you don't have those witness statements anymore, your case is built on them, you don't really have a case anymore.
Did the prosecutors make any mistakes here? Like, did they sort of alert the potential defense attorneys to witnesses that they might get to before there was an arrest made? Or what did you see from 10,000 feet looking at that?
No, not that I saw, because they had the information was in the police report. They have to put that information in a police report in order to support an application to a judge for a warrant to arrest these guys because they were not turning themselves in so quickly. Though one of the defense attorneys for one of the NFL players, Quentin Dunbar, said he claims that the prosecutors, the police, did not attempt to locate his client first before issuing the warrant for the arrest. And that was sort of just to, you know, get attention on this case for the department since it involves some high-profile people, that they didn't really make an attempt to go and apprehend his client. But we know that in the police report, it does say that one of the detectives reached DeAndre Baker, and he claims that he was hung up on. So they went, they got the warrant, they had to put the information that they put in it, had to go in it, in order to show probable cause to issue the warrant to go and arrest these guys. So so far as I know, they didn't do anything wrong. Could they have had more evidence to support these charges? Yeah, maybe that would have been a good idea to do a little investigating before apprehending these individuals based on just testimony alone, when you know that this testimony is coming from people who were allegedly running an illegal gambling ring. You're relying on testimony from people that may not be the most credible.
We're talking to Amy Dash, legal analyst for Fox and CBS Radio. I got to admit, when I saw this story, I saw, okay, two NFL players, one with the Seahawks, one with the Giants. I saw the possibility of 60 years, and I said, they're done. That this is it. We're not going to get. We're not going to see these guys. Now it looks like they may walk. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they may be innocent. I mean, that's a possibility. So there's a lot of theories floating around, and we don't know which one is true. They're all possible, right? But their attorneys say that they're completely innocent. The reason why people thought they were done, so to speak, is because they were charged. There were witnesses. There were four witnesses who were alleged victims. There was another witness who was a childhood friend of theirs. They were all on the record. Apparently, the police are saying that they taped these statements. So to think that these people who say they had been victimized at gunpoint and had things stolen from them would then, after giving tape-recorded statements to the police, flip their stories and show up on the doorstep of the defense to change their stories within 36 hours before these guys even surrender and are arraigned, that's sort of an unbelievable turn of events. So nobody would have thought that any of that would have happened. So when you looked at the case from the start, you see all these hefty charges. You know that in Florida, there's really, really strict laws that require mandatory prison sentences for charges like these, 15 years per charge, and there were four charges. Well, naturally, everyone thought, oish, you know, if he's convicted, he's going away for a really long time. But I don't think anybody, including myself, could foresee that it wouldn't even make it to trial. And listen, maybe they'll try to bring this case, but in my eyes, they don't have a case right now. There's no case. Your witnesses are gone. What do you have? They already admitted they don't have anything else. So what are you bringing these charges on? There's a legal threshold the prosecutor has to meet in order to bring a case, and right now he's got nothing.
Could the prosecution go after the witnesses, say, look, you perjured yourself, you flipped your testimony, because the perception is that somebody got to him?
Some people think that, and like I said, the defense attorneys are just saying, listen, this was made up from the start. These were shady characters. They were running an illegal gambling operation. Everything they said was bogus. And listen, maybe on the flip side, maybe they were trying to extort money from the NFL players. We don't know. Or maybe people got to them and threatened them or bribed them. We don't know. Or maybe just of their own volition, they decided to change their story. Maybe their story was true. Maybe it wasn't. I mean, it's a big question mark right now. It's a huge mystery as to what really happened. But can they go after these witnesses for perjury charges? Yes, and the police and the state have said that they're looking into doing that. However, I know at least one of the witnesses, they said in court, now has his own lawyer. So if the witnesses have their own lawyers, which is unusual, it happens, but it's unusual, I don't think the police and the prosecutors are going to really be able to get to them.
DeAndre Baker, Quentin Dunbar were both arrested. And, you know, the order of things here seems out of order, because normally if you're a defense attorney, I would think that there's an arrest, there's an arraignment. Now you have a private investigator who goes out and interviews some of those witnesses. But it looks like they did that interviewing even before the players were arraigned. Is that unusual?
Yeah, it's very unusual. I've never seen that happen. Usually people are arraigned, and then at that point, you know, there's going to be a discovery process at some point, and the defense will get what the prosecution has. They're required to turn everything over to the defense so the defense can vet it and do their own investigation. But a defense attorney going and looking at the evidence that supports the warrant, and basically within a very short period of time, now they have affidavits from those same people in the warrant. Every single person in that warrant is giving an affidavit now for the defense, so that virtually there's nothing left to support the case. Very, very unusual. And when defendants usually go for their arraignments, it's very routine for a judge to say, no contact with the witnesses, no contact with the victims, a no contact order. And that's to prevent witness tampering. But if you haven't been arraigned, and let's say these NFL players spoke to the people at the party prior to being arraigned, well, they're not violating any rules. They're not violating any no contact order because it hasn't been issued yet. But you know, of course they can't go and bribe them or threaten them or do any type of witness, you know, tampering, any undue influence, but they're allowed to have contact with them. However, after the no contact order, they're not allowed to have contact. They can't speak to them at all. So if they were going to speak to them, I'm not sure that they did, but if they were going to, the time would be before the arraignment. And also, you know, the affidavits, I think, really help free these guys because normally it would be no bond. They'd be held. And they could be held, you know, with the COVID and everything going on. There were concerns from their attorneys that they'd be exposed. And they could have been held up until trial, potentially, through trial, which who knows how long that would have taken. So the fact that they got these affidavits from these witnesses and victims, the judge said that he was going to grant them bond based on that. Based on the fact that these affidavits have come to light, because without them, they would have been held.
What's the lesson here for pro athletes or high profile entertainers? Is there a takeaway here legally?
Well, I think you know there was apparently an illegal gambling operation. The defense attorneys are telling me that it was a traveling operation. It wasn't even based in the state of Florida. A mutual friend, I guess from childhood, had brought these players to that and organize this whole gathering. So I guess the takeaway from this and also, you know, if anybody's been watching The Last Dance with MJ and the lawsuit that resulted from his gambling as well, I guess the takeaway would be to not associate yourself with, you know, illegal gambling rings. That would be
That's
one of the
takeaways. That's a good one, yes.
Or nefarious people, right?
That's good advice. Amy Dash is with us, legal analyst, CBS Radio and Fox. Amy, what about the NFL? Does Roger Goodell, under the new collective bargaining agreement, does he have a role here? Will he investigate? How will the NFL handle this if there are no charges?
I don't think the NFL can really do anything here. Unless the NFL, I mean, the NFL traditionally takes their investigators, they go do their own investigation. I think it would be a colossal waste of time to do that in this circumstance because, number one, you have all these people, like I said, we're running a traveling operation. They may not even be in the state of Florida. How will the NFL even find out who these people are? I mean, it would require cooperation from a lot of people who now have lawyers who probably are not going to want to talk. The police are not going to be able to hand anything over to the NFL if they close out their investigation. They're probably not going to share their information with the NFL. And if the charges are dropped, well, then what is the basis for any NFL punishment? There is none. Furthermore, Roger Goodell, under the new CBA, once that goes into effect, he will not be the final decision maker for discipline anymore. It's going to be discipline's going to be handled by a neutral arbitrator that's chosen by both sides. So I think this is really a new NFL that's washing its hands of, you know, the past contentious court battles with its own players for judging them in criminal matters when there haven't been charges or when there have been charges, and then the NFL's doling out punishments based on their own investigations. I really think the NFL is moving away from that. So if the charges are dropped, the NFL has to, absent any evidence to the contrary, make the assumption or err on the side of caution that these guys are innocent and that they were wrongfully accused. Whether or not that's true, if there's no evidence and the witnesses have flipped, then the NFL cannot, I don't see how they could convict these guys for something that there's no proof that they did.
What are they doing at a party during a coronavirus outbreak? What are they doing?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I believe it was 15 to 20 people, so that would be above the 10-person gathering rule.
Well, at least they had masks on, right? I guess that would be...
Well, we don't know. We don't know. Apparently, allegedly, there was like one or two people there with red masks. Not the players, but two other people. But the police can't find these imaginary masked gunmen. I mean, they're at large. Whether they exist or not is also a mystery.
Before I cut you loose, you know, you've made a successful career out of this, and you've done it. You do it at a high level. We started the show talking to high school and college graduates, giving them life advice. What advice would you give to high school and college graduates?
Well, that's a really good question. I would say make sure that you pursue a path that you're passionate about. But I would also say make sure that you're realistic in pursuing your passion, but also having a backup plan if your passion doesn't pan out. And I would just say that that's really relevant in this environment, too, like with the COVID and people losing their jobs and everything like that. It's great to pursue something that you love, but also understand that it's competitive. So, like, for example, with what I did, I always knew that I wanted to be a journalist and I wanted to be a reporter and I wanted to do broadcasting. But I actually went to law school for a couple reasons. One of them was to have a backup if it didn't work out, the journalism career, because I knew that it was a very competitive area to get into. But also I said, well, going to law school will give me that flexibility that I can go and understand the law, criminal law, constitutional law. So not only will it be a backup, but it would help me with my reporting career. And lo and behold, I ended up shifting gears from a general assignment reporter to being a legal analyst. And I was able to combine both. So I think anytime you can further your education or come up with a creative way to make yourself a renaissance person, a person who has an education that would translate into many different opportunities. You should always be thinking broadly like that and not pigeonhole yourself into one thing. And just be open to your career taking many different twists and turns as you evolve in your own life.
I appreciate that. Great advice. Amy Dash, thank you. She's talking about versatility there. Left herself options. And essentially, you know, she talked about her passion in journalism and being a journalist, but also has a passion for law. So went to law school and now works as a legal analyst. All right, our big splash is coming up. Plus, this is the 40th anniversary of the eruption of Mount St. Helens. We'll have one of the investigative reporters who was boots on the ground there. Les Zeitz will be joining us from the far reaches of this state. Great, terrific journalist and investigative reporter. He's got great perspective on that eruption. We'll talk about all that later in the program. Leave it here. NBA trying to figure out if it's going to start back up. The owner of the Houston Rockets went public today saying that he believes that the regular season will start back up just to get some games in and get the players ready for the playoffs. I don't know how the non-playoff teams are going to feel about that. Hey, by the way, we need you for a playoff training camp. We need you to open the doors. We need you to get all of your operations back in. We need the team to show up, and we're going to play about a week or two of games, and then we're going to start the playoffs, and you can go back home. I don't know how the non-playoff teams are going to feel about that. I expect that there's going to be some jockeying and some back and forth on that one. All right. Today, we have a big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
But the Big Splash! Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is encouraging major sports teams in his state to plan on reopening. He said it. Hockey, baseball, basketball, football. He said, whoever can reopen, we're a ready, willing, and able partner. He said that today. He thinks it's in the best interest of the people and the best interest of the state of New York. All major sports, as we know, have been shut down since March. Major League Baseball's in talks to try to start the season. Harold Reynolds told me last week that July felt optimistic about July, worst case scenario, an August start for Major League Baseball that would allow them to finish a shortened season, 81 or 82 games, maybe about a half a season. They would allow them to finish that by November. But Cuomo said, personally, I want to watch the Buffalo Bills. That's what he said. And, of course, the Bills organization is not included in phase one of the reopening plans, so they're not yet able to return to their facility in Orchard Park. But there's some momentum right now that hasn't been present in prior weeks. NBA owners wanting to open, Major League Baseball talking about it, and of course everybody looking over at what's going on in Europe and saying, okay, they see soccer leagues are starting back up, no fans, how's that going to go? Let them be the guinea pig. Let's watch and see. Do teams test positive? I think we're still a couple weeks away from this getting serious, but there is some traction going on, and I think that is the one thing that you need to know. All right, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we've got great sound Punch an audio.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.